With the 25th pick in the NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select. It could be better than a fantasy.
I got my levels out of place last night. Was a long one, looking for a quick fix, looking for a shortcut. But if I want a game plan for the long run, what do I bring to the table? Said dumb luck. There's a good chance the last thing I pick up will show up in my sleep and crash all my dreams with some shit I won't repeat, cause it's not what I'm proud of. Some heaviness, some pettiness, and things I'm ashamed of.
Alright, let's do this.
Yeah, let's get this money.
What's going on, guys? We are back with the now unnamed NFL Draft Podcast right here on Underground Sports Philadelphia. Kyle Bennett, Joe Rutowski from the fifth quarter.
What's going on, Kyle?
He's now part of Underground Sports Philadelphia as well. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Pleasure to start talking football again after a short little off season. And the combine starts next week, and I'm excited to be talking football.
It's crazy, and I hope I didn't butcher your last name like Fenster does.
It's Rutowski, but okay. Everybody, it's funny because everybody pronounces it with the T,
gotcha,
rather than the K. But it's actually the K instead of the T. But
now I know. But yeah, Mikey and Helfman did their mock draft episode and kind of broke down the draft more in depth as a whole. We're going to kind of break down the Eagles free agents, how it's going to affect how they approach free agency, and then if they can just fill those in with the draft or if they should go after somebody that's available, because there's a whole hell of a lot of available free agents this year, too. So Tim McManus from ESPN does a great job covering the Eagles, put out his Stay or Go article today, so that's what we're going to be using as a reference. The obvious notable free agents being Nick Foles, Brandon Graham, Golden Tate, Jordan Hicks, Ronald Darby, Mike Wallace, Darren Sproles, Jay Ajayi, and then the other free agents as well being Haloti Ngata, Chance Warmack, Chris Maragos, Corey Graham, Richard Rodgers, Leroy Reynolds, Jordan Matthews, and DJ Alexander. So, obviously, starting off with the big name himself, Nick Foles, he's an obvious go because
he's
just got to go.
Absolutely. Can't have Wentz and Foles on the same team anymore. I think we saw last year with the Chris Long shrine. I don't want to say the locker room is getting divided. You know what I mean? Because I think that they have good leaders in there. Doug P is obviously at the top, great leader. But, you know, you were starting to see players kind of starting to pick sides.
And you drafted Carson Wentz for a reason.
Exactly.
Like, he's your franchise quarterback. Nick Foles, I'll be forever indebted to you. If I ever see you, I will buy you a meal and a drink, whatever you need, I'll do whatever. But it's time for Nick Foles to move on. And I think Nick Foles knows that too.
Yeah.
So we'll be looking for a new backup quarterback.
Absolutely. And one option for backup quarterback we have on the roster already, Nate Sudfeld. He only played, a quarter last year against Washington.
Threw a touchdown.
Yeah, threw a touchdown. It was a little 5-yard dump off. But, you know, it still counts. The Eagles are really high on him. He was picked up off of the Redskins practice squad a couple years ago, and they held on to him. They kept him. They think that he has some potential. He's certainly better than Nate Peterman. So, I mean, you know, I would definitely keep him. I would give him a good shot, and I would probably give him the opportunity to be the backup here.
Yeah, and the only thing that they have to keep an eye on with Nate Sudfeld is he's a restricted free agent, so somebody can try to sign him to an offer sheet and hopefully it doesn't get out of the price range where it's too crazy for him. But I still think that they're going to try to carry three quarterbacks because of Wentz's injury history. And my number one option is a Nick Foles type, and that'd be Ryan Tannehill.
That would be good because, you know, obviously, like you said, Wentz has an injury history. I'm a huge Wentz guy, but even I'm willing to admit that. And Tannehill, really, you know, in his Dolphins career, he's kind of shown flashes of success at points, injury history too. Mm-hmm. If he can, you know, just ride the pine for a little bit and wait for his opportunity, you know, that could be a good situation for him. But I'm comfortable with him as being our backup.
Yeah, because all indications are he's going to get released by the Dolphins. Yep. So if they can get Ryan Tannehill in a 1-1 type deal, 1 year with a 1-year option, I'm all aboard that train. Let him sit behind Wentz and say Wentz isn't ready. You have a guy who started in this league before, unlike Sudfeld, and you can just throw him in with much more talent around him too. And I think Ryan Tannehill would be a fun little fit behind Carson Wentz next year at the right price, of course.
Yeah, and I also think that some, like the Nick Foles lovers that just want to keep him here and forever, they, what they aren't really understanding is that what the Eagles have had the past 2 years is honestly a really unique situation. You really don't find two star quarterbacks, mm-hmm. and I'm going to go, you know, Nick Foles is a Pro Bowl quarterback, in my opinion.
Super over, Bowl MVP.
Yeah, too. Over a full season, the way he's played and looked the past two seasons, he could be a Pro Bowler. You know, that just doesn't happen. You really, I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm only 21, so I really haven't had.
There's not much.
But, yeah, maybe Steve Young and Montana. Like, that's really the only pairing that I.
And that's a huge stretch because that's two guys that won Super Bowls.
In a non-salary cap era, too. So they had the ability to keep them. You can't. In this day and age, you pay two quarterbacks $20 million a piece. You're screwed.
You're done.
You're screwed.
So we both agree Nick Foles is a definite go. I think the backup quarterback, obviously you're not going to draft the quarterback.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to get filled in free agency. So we both agree on that. The next person on this list, another Super Bowl 52 legend, Brandon Graham. I am on the fence with Brandon Graham right now. Same. I don't know how I feel yet. Tim McManus has him as a go. If you can get Brandon Graham at the right price, because the way he like has kind of ventured on this free agency talk is, you know, I want to explore the market, but, you know, it make the undertone he gives is if the Eagles can throw a similar type offer that might not be the most money, but similar, he'll come back.
Yeah, and he's really a good guy, great personality. Honestly, though, if he goes, that would tell me that Howie, Doug, and Joe Douglas and all them have really decided that they're going to go D-line mm-hmm. with the first round. That's exactly what that would tell me. And I think you'll figure out what their idea is on what they want to do with Brandon next week at the Combine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if somebody like Montez Sweat or Dexter Lawrence or somebody comes out and really throws or, you know, blows you away with their performance at the Combine – you know, I'm willing to let him walk mm-hmm. if we can bring in a rookie star, somebody who's going to be here for a long time. But I would like to bring Brandon back, you know.
Yeah. And the Combine is where trades go down, too.
Exactly. Yeah, like, exactly.
That's how we saw the Carson Wentz trade formulate a couple years ago. And I would love Brandon Graham to be back here and kind of just be a career Eagle. It's just got to be at the right price.
Yeah, he was kind of a late bloomer mm-hmm. with his career. You know, he really got compared to Jason Pierre-Paul a lot because they were right next to each other in the draft. Jason obviously had a lot of success early on with the Giants, and then after that devastating accident that happened to him, really his production has kind of fallen off. But Brandon has kind of gotten better as his mm-hmm. career is going on. He didn't really have that great of a season last year because he was coming off of the ankle surgery. And
then he kind of caught on late.
Yeah, exactly. He was big, and I think a lot of the struggles that they faced last year was because they didn't have as much depth mm-hmm. as they did the previous year. And that's exactly what Jim Schwartz's system is based around is, you know, you got to have
rotation.
A lot of depth. Yep, exactly. Brandon Graham should have only been playing 20 to 30 plays a game. He was upwards of 80 to 85% mm-hmm. of the snaps. A guy coming off of not a devastating ankle injury, but a serious one.
Yeah.
You can't have that.
Especially for a guy that's trying to get after the quarterback. And
mm-hmm.
He's
on the wrong side of 29.
Yeah.
Almost pushing 30, you know.
He is 30 now, so he'd go into 30. Next year at 30. So that's something to keep an eye on. But if you can get Brandon Graham, say, on like a three-year deal where it's not like crushing your salary cap, I would bring him back. Mm-hmm. Me personally, my gut tells me Brandon Graham is gone.
Yeah, that's exact. And Howie, if you heard the interview that he had, he said, you know, we want to be loyal. We want to be one of those franchises that keeps guys around and really stays loyal to the guys that they brought in and developed as their own. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you have to do what's right for the football team and put the best product on the field. So in my opinion, if they really 100% believe that someone is going to be there in the first round that they can get to replace him, I would let him go. But if they can't and you're really you're not taking a risk on a guy, but, you know, there's a work in progress player that
you're making more of an investment.
I would bring Brandon back as kind of a mentor, 2-3 year deal. That way, by the time he's done, whoever they have is ready mm-hmm. to step in.
And now, former Eagle Vinnie Curry got released. Would you bring Vinnie back on a more than likely going to be way cheaper deal, say on a 1-year deal, would you bring Vinny Curry back over Brandon Graham?
It depends about the money. Like you said, I kind of have some bias. I just told you the story about me giving the ride home to Vinny Curry from the city. But if you're paying him somewhere between $2 to $5 million, then yeah, I would consider bringing back. I think Vinny's a great pass rusher. I think they really struggled getting to the quarterback at times last year. He's pretty much a liability in the run, you know, run stopping. But he's a pretty average pass rusher. I would consider bringing him back.
So then I think we can both agree that the D-line is going to get upgraded at some point in this draft, whether it's the first or second round, especially from Howie's comments for the end-of-season press conference where they said that this D-line, this line class between O-line and D-line is historic.
Yeah. And I was going to say, because you saw my tweet probably a couple weeks ago when I first started, you know, covering the draft for Underground, and I laid out the running backs from the 2016 draft. You can't miss out on that. Yeah. You know, when you have that many talented star players, you don't take something else. You know what I mean? This is a obviously very deep D-line class, and I would be surprised if they go anywhere else because it's a mistake to me.
Yeah, especially to pair somebody with Derek Barnett, who's still insanely young. Like,
and Fletcher Cox.
It makes sense.
You know, you're not going to – he just signed that extension a couple years ago. Who knows if they'll even retain Fletcher when his contract's up, you know, because he'll be wanting big money, and by that time, they'll be paying Wentz. So we'll see. But they need – they have a window right now that's open. I don't think next year is the opportunity for them to get back.
Next year kind of kicks the window back open.
Yep, exactly. I think next year would be the retooling year where you kind of figure out what you got, what you need for the next year, and then you start to develop chemistry with the younger players, and then the year after will be the year that they kind of pushed on.
And obviously you hope that next year can be something while Wentz is still on this rookie contract. Yep. But I agree. I don't think next year will be another Super Bowl run unless, you know, some crazy stuff happens, and we've seen that.
Yeah, I mean,
so it's possible.
The year they won the Super Bowl, I had them at 9-7, 10-6. Yeah. So you never know.
It's definitely possible. But the next free agent on this list was a midseason addition, Golden Tate. I think we can both agree he's gone.
Yeah, I agree. Mike Rowe struggled to get him involved in the offense. He really didn't do anything up until the playoffs. Obviously, he caught the game-winning touchdown against the Bears. But I've been a big Nelson believer through his entire career. Even when everybody wanted him gone for the drops, I still said, you know, we got to keep this guy. He's a first-round pick. And you saw that in the Super Bowl year. He had 800 yards, 8 touchdowns, finally broke out. He's got to be in the slot. He can't play outside.
Yeah.
And Golden Tate just creates a logjam.
Yeah, Golden Tate ruined Nelson Agholor's season last year, in a sense. And I think even Jordan Matthews ruined Nelson Agholor's season last year. So
I agree.
I think Nelson Agholor, if they don't trade him to kind of clear that cap number, needs to be your primary slot guy next year. And whether you draft a wide receiver or bring a guy in, or Mac Hollins comes back to life and can play on the outside, Golden Tate's definitely gone.
Yeah, and like you said, I wouldn't be surprised if Nelson got traded. I think his cap number is like
9.48 or something like that.
Something like that. And that's a lot for a guy who's been very inconsistent over his career, and he's going to want more than that when his contract's up. And Howie could dangle him out there as trade bait, and I wouldn't be mad about that. Him and Carson are good friends or whatever, but you can't just keep around dead weight. If he's not going to be the player that he was in 2017, then what's the point of keeping him?
Yeah. You got to potentially cut your losses. I hope Nelson bounces back.
Yeah.
And he can be here for a while, but it's definitely something that you have to monitor just to kind of clear the cap space for this team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all about getting younger. They have a young core.
And not that Nelson's old.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But if you can bring in a younger receiver, less money, more production, then you got to do it. Mm-hmm. That's a no-brainer.
Next guy on the list, Jordan Hicks. Talk about injury prone.
Yeah.
He's the picture you see when you look it up in the dictionary. Solid player. Don't get me wrong. Tim McManus has him as a stay unless they get him on a cheap deal, kind of a prove-it deal. I would rather draft a linebacker or go out and get a linebacker in free agency.
Agreed.
Because I feel like Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham play a similar style of linebacker, and you can go get an outside linebacker and plug him in and move Nigel to the middle, and you'd be a much more productive linebacking unit. So I think Jordan Hicks is gone.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like Jordan Hicks at the beginning of his career. The injuries have clearly affected the way he plays, and he's just a liability in the pass coverage. He can't cover anybody. And in this NFL era where you're seeing more passes than runs, you need a linebacker who can cover. Their linebacking core lost a lot with Michael Kendricks. A lot of people didn't like him, but I thought that them losing Kendricks was a big blow to that defense last year. And if you look, I was listening to Ray Didinger the other day, because he's on every Saturday with Glenn on WIP, and he was basically going over the statistics for Hicks' snaps. And at the end of the season, they were actually taking him off the field for third downs. They were taking him out late in games. And to me, that's scary, because he's supposed to be the captain of the defense as the middle linebacker. And for him to not be out on the most important downs, the most important snaps of the game, he's got to go. And this is there's three really solid linebackers that I like in this draft. Two of them I think are unattainable. Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. Can't get Josh Allen. Can't get Devin White. Mack Wilson, second round, Alabama. I think he's the more realistic guy. I would like to see them try and pull the trigger on one of those.
Especially with 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
If you need to move up, you have that draft capital to do so. But I definitely see linebacker either being addressed in free agency with, say, a C.J. Mosley, or...
That would be huge.
You know, the guys from Seattle, I believe, are both free agents, so you could see something with that. Or, like you said, in the draft, or both. Say you go get C.J. Mosley and then get a young linebacker and...
Or you bring back Jordan Hicks, like you said, on a one-year prove-it deal, and you have his replacement. It kind of creates that competition there where Jordan knows that this young gun is coming for him, and he has to step up and play like he needs to.
Yeah. So my personal opinion, I think Jordan Hicks is gone unless it's on a one-year kind of prove-it deal to see if he can actually stay healthy.
Yep.
Speaking of injuries, the next guy on the list, Ronald Darby, who I pounded my fist for. I loved the acquisition of Ronald Darby, and then he tore his ACL. I still love Ronald Darby. I think he's another guy that if you can get him on a prove-it deal potentially, you do it. Tim McManus has him as a go. I'm on the fence with Ronald Darby.
I like Ronald, and I think that he played well for us in the Super Bowl year, but I think it's the smart move for him to come back here. For him, not for the team. Because if he goes somewhere else, they're just going to let him go. Whereas if he comes back here, he already knows the system. He knows how the city works. He knows how the franchise works. He knows everything. He can come back here on the one-year deal, prove it. He'll be comfortable, you know what I mean? It's not like he's going somewhere else and he's coming back from an injury, blah, blah, blah. But if he was smart, he would take a team-friendly deal, come back, prove it, and then go get your money next year.
Yeah, I think the only issue you have is, one, Avante Maddox proved he's a baller.
Oh, yeah. He's a beast.
He's going to be a core piece of the secondary for a while. Cravon LeBlanc proved that he can play, proved that he could be your nickel guy. So that's another roster spot in the secondary taken up. And then you also have Jalen Mills coming back off of injury, Sidney Jones hopefully coming back healthy, and then Russell Douglas late in the season proved he could play when he got consistent snaps. And I love Russell Douglas.
I love Russell. I've been high on him since they drafted him.
So my only issue with Ronald Darby coming back is there going to be enough room for them to keep, you know, 7 defensive backs along with Malcolm, Rodney coming back, and then you probably have to get a third safety unless you convert one of these guys like Jalen Mills or have Avante Maddox playing safety again.
Or even convert Rasul.
Yeah.
Because Rasul has the safety body. He's just never played the position. Mm-hmm. But he has, if you look at his numbers compared to Mills, he has more picks in less amount of time.
Yeah. Which is why I like Rasul at corner more than Jalen, because I think Rasul also has the foot speed, where Jalen, if you move him to safety, he can kind of just survey the field a little bit more, and you don't have to really worry about him running.
Yeah.
And Jalen, one underrated thing about Jalen Mills, he can tackle.
Yeah,
that's absolutely one thing he's that one a of lot best. Of these corners can't do. Is Jalen can tackle, Rasul can tackle, And Avante Maddox can tackle.
Darby can't tackle.
Darby can't tackle. He's like a poor man's Asante Samuel in a sense. But I think Darby is kind of a prove it guy, but I think he also has the potential to get a boatload of money thrown at him.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I think my gut tells me Ronald Darby will not be back next year. How they improve that, I don't know if they have to get another corner in here. Because, like we said, Sidney Jones, Jalen Mills, Avante Maddox, LeBlanc, and Rasul. I mean, if you want to go get like another depth type of guy, that would be the only thing. I wouldn't even address it in the draft.
I mean, I would say, like, if you're in the draft and people are going and whoever you like is going, if the best available player there is like DeAndre Baker, maybe for some reason Greedy Williams falls because of a Laremy Tunsil incident or something. If he falls or DeAndre Baker's there, like, I would definitely strongly consider them because I think this team is missing like a lockdown corner. We don't really have that. We don't have a guy that can cover Odell, Julio, AB, Juju, anybody like that. So if we could get that, I would definitely be all for it.
Which I think they're hoping Sidney Jones will be when he's healthy.
Yeah.
And that's the big thing. Hopefully, with the restructuring of this medical staff, Sidney Jones can actually get healthy and be on the field for 16 games, but that remains to be seen.
Yeah, that's why I don't understand. In the Super Bowl year, he didn't play the whole season, and then they play him against the Cowboys in the last game. Mm-hmm. My opinion would be is why wouldn't you just sit him out the whole season, let him rest, don't even risk putting him on the field. And then, you know, he plays the whole preseason, and the preseason is where it starts, all the hamstring injuries. And I don't know, the whole year you heard about the training staff. Now, I don't know what happened or what's going on, but that needs to be improved. Yeah. So
100%.
We need to pick up some medical staff in free agency.
And you saw it, you know, not to get too far off with this, but you saw it across the board with these injuries this year. Yeah. Mike Wallace, Mac Hollins, Darren Sproles, you know, Sidney Jones. You saw it with a whole bunch of guys. You saw Jason Kelsey dislocated his elbow in a game against the Saints, was ruled out, and then an hour later he's ruled back in.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of question marks with that medical staff. Even a couple of years ago with Danelle Pumphrey, when he apparently, you know, broke his leg or whatever it was,
and then
he's kind of just walking at practice. And
absolutely.
It's weird, but speaking of injuries yet again and guys who were injured last year, Mike Wallace. I was disappointed that Mike Wallace got hurt as early as he did because I thought he was going to be a big upgrade over Torrey Smith just ball-catching-wise.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt against Tampa, doesn't play the rest of the year, and Tim McManus has him as a stay. I would not mind bringing Mike Wallace back.
I wouldn't mind it. I would move more towards what you texted me on my way here, and that's DeSean Jackson. At first, when DeSean left, I was good, because, you know, you heard all that stuff about how he was affiliated with gangs, and then you come to find out it was all just really made up, and it was just Chip Kelly just trying to get his guys in here. But I like your idea of bringing in DeSean. I didn't really see anything out of Mike, obviously, because he was hurt. But even before he got hurt, he didn't really look that great in the preseason or in week one. But I would probably look somewhere else, because you can always find a younger, faster, better player. DeSean's not younger, but DeSean has that experience. He's been here. He knows the city. But I would say that he probably goes, especially if you keep Nelson.
Yeah, and I mean, if you can get Mike Wallace on kind of like a veteran's minimum type thing, because you're going to lose Golden Tate, obviously. You're going to lose Jordan Matthews, so that makes your receiving core that's definite right now Alshon Jeffery and Nelson Agholor.
Yeah.
So you definitely need wide receiver help, because you don't even know what Mac Hollins is right now.
Yeah, because he didn't play the whole year. And also, there's been some rumblings about Antonio Brown possibly, the Eagles being interested in him. So if you bring in somebody like Antonio, then you got two possession receivers in Antonio and Alshon Nelson in the slot, and there's no real room for Mike. You know?
Yeah. So Mike Wallace is definitely an interesting person to monitor. I'm kind of on the fence with him, but we'll see how that rolls around. I don't think he'll be back, but it could be one of those like late in free agency type moves where Doug's just like, yeah, let's bring him in camp and see if we can win a roster spot. Would you draft a wide receiver this year?
It really depends on who's – I've been seeing a lot of receivers going in like the first and second round, and I personally think that the skill positions are, besides, we definitely need a running back, okay? We 100% need a running back. But I wouldn't take, like, a wide receiver in the top two rounds, especially with all the needs we have. Because, you know, if all the guys that we've talked about before go, like Darby, Hicks, Brandon Graham, and all them go, you have to replace them. Mm-hmm. So wide receiver wouldn't be at the top. Maybe something like Shelton Gibson, where you take a flyer on a guy late. Hopefully he develops into something. I want to see the Eagles, like the Browns last year took Antonio Callaway out of Florida. Phenomenal receiver. Without a doubt, number one receiver in that class without all of the marijuana possession charges and stuff in college. I want to see the Eagles take somebody like that. A lot of people who are listening might be like, you know, well, that's like a bad guy. But you find out that sometimes these guys aren't that bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just, you know, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. And we saw, obviously, with Kareem Hunt, too, with the Chiefs took him out of Tulane. But he would have been higher had he not gotten in trouble in college. I want to see us take somebody like that.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to see, you know, say somebody falls or, you know, just the draft board goes a certain way. I wouldn't mind getting another young receiver in here because, you know, Alshon's good. I think he's a definite core piece for the next 2-3 years on this team.
Yeah.
But you definitely need to continue developing at that position, and hopefully our wide receiver coach can actually stick for a year.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a big part with this wide receiver core too, is we've had 5 wide receivers coaches in 5 years.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So, and you need to find some consistency there as well.
I like the Ohio State wide receiver Paris Campbell. Very explosive. He runs like a 4.45 or something like that. He's got to change his number, though, because he wears 21. That's not a wide receiver's number. I'm picky about that stuff.
Not everybody's Dion.
Exactly. And but he's explosive. He reminds me of a faster Nelson, mm-hmm. honestly. That would be a good pick because I've seen him go anywhere from late second round to early fourth. And I think by the time the draft rolls around, I think we'll have a third round pick, whether it's Foles or they deal somebody else, maybe Jordan Hicks. Who knows? If they might honestly bring back somebody just to trade him. Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
And like we said, DeSean Jackson's a possibility as well. He's only got 1 year left on his deal. I don't think he's going to stick around in Tampa with Bruce Arians being there now. Especially with all the
quarterbacks.
With the quarterback situation down there, with the wide receiver situation down there. I just think that DeSean Jackson's more than likely going to become available. And if you can get him for, say, a 4th-round pick, I'm all aboard.
All aboard. Absolutely.
So that's something to definitely monitor with the wide receivers. Looking at running backs, Darren Sproles, you know, he's not getting any younger. He was dynamic, though, when he came back from his injury. I personally, right now, looking at this roster, think the only running back that needs to be back from last year is Corey Clement.
Agreed. 110% agree. I didn't rip him, but I was on Sproles because I thought it was a bad decision to bring him back last year because of the fact that how old he was and he missed all that time. And I was ready to label him as done. I did label him as done. But then he surprised me, you know, late in the season. He was big in the Texans game. He was big in the playoffs. You know, if he's willing to take a cheap contract to stay, then I guess, like, I'm willing to do that. But I agree with you. I would not bring back Ajayi. He's the next guy on our list. Mm-hmm. Coming off of a torn ACL already with bad knees, I'm not investing in that. Yeah. I'm not investing in Josh Adams because everybody loves him for around here. But if you look at his stats, he averaged like
Another practice squad stash.
Yeah, exactly. He averaged like a yard and a half per carry at the end of the season.
They shied away from him in the playoffs.
Yeah, because he had those fumbling problems. They need running back.
Yeah, badly.
Bad. And
this year, more than any, we'll see if they're ready to commit to a running back early in the draft, because I think regardless, a running back's getting drafted, whether or not they go out in free agency and try to get another running back. I don't know if you saw recently, the Eagles started following LeGarrette Blount on Instagram again.
Ooh.
So that's something that kind of piqued my interest a little bit. Because also, fun fact, since 2013, every team that's won the Super Bowl, LeGarrette Blount or CJ Anderson was on the roster. Or had gone to the Super Bowl.
Been in the Super Bowl.
It was the Denver Broncos with CJ and the Patriots and Eagles with LeGarrette Blount. So.
Yeah, and then the CJ Anderson was
with
on
the Rams. So
yeah.
That's your key to getting the Super Bowl is LeGarrette Blount or CJ Anderson. But I definitely think J.J. and Darren Sproles are gone.
Or Brandon Cooks if you want to lose the Super Bowl.
Yeah. I think they're both gone. Agreed. I think you need to invest early in a running back, whether that's, you know, the first round or one of those second round picks. You got to make something happen because you haven't had a franchise running back since LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, and my one friend Connor has been just like digging his elbow into my side that we should take Josh Jacobs in the first round. I want to take one high, believe me. I want one in the top two rounds. First round, no. If this is too deep of a D-line class to pass up on, I mean, you would have to be foolish to pass up on somebody like Dexter Lawrence, Montez Sweat. I've seen Jeffrey Simmons. He just tore his ACL, but he'll still be a good player. I would definitely go second round, though. Second round running back, you go Damian Harris, Josh Jacobs. I really like Benny Snell out of Kentucky.
You're a big Benny Snell guy.
Big Benny Snell guy. Daryl Henderson from Memphis. Really good running back. Honestly, though, what I was thinking before I came over here was that if they took like a Josh Jacobs or somebody like that, and then next year there's an even better one coming, even better class come out, Najee Harris, Zach Moss, bunch of different players, you can really create over the next 2 years a running back tandem of like two star young running backs. And that would be probably a really smart play by Howie.
That, or if they can kind of get like a, not older, but like a mid-aged like veteran running back in here to pair up, say, like, not that I want him, but a guy that's kind of like Carlos Hyde.
Yeah.
Get somebody like that where he's like in his mid-20s, hasn't really found a solidified home in this league because he's gone from San Francisco to Cleveland to Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. He's probably going to get cut. So that's somebody that we could keep an eye on free agency-wise. I know a lot of Eagles fans have this fascination with Carlos Hyde. I don't get it. I'm not a Carlos Hyde guy. But I could see him kind of being that middle ground running back. The other options, obviously, with free agency, Le'Veon Bell is going to be tied to every team that needs a running back. Yeah. Me, personally, my free agent running back of choice would be Mark Ingram.
I agree, 100%.
And I hate Mark Ingram for what he was doing with the Saints, but all can be cleansed and forgiven if he signs with the Eagles.
I agree. I love powerful, physical running backs. I also love the pass catchers, you know, the Alvin Kamaras and Todd Gurley's of the world, but LeGarrette Blount, Mark Ingram, guys that get the ball and run between the tackles and put their shoulder down and run dudes over. I love that. I think that's a perfect fit for here, and that's what I was kind of getting at. It was what I was going to get at was that if you bring in a Mark Ingram this year, sign him to like a 3-year deal, and then you draft like a pass catching running back, somebody with great ability, you can have exactly what the Saints had, which is a young Kamara, who he's not that great of a runner between the tackles, great pass catcher, and then you have Mark Ingram, and you kind of have that dual threat running back system. But then now they're willing to let Mark Ingram go because of the fact that Alvin Kamara is now better at running between the tackles, and that's what we can kind of generate here. Yeah. I feel like
I would not mind Mark Ingram being, you know, lined up behind Carson Wentz next season, and having that as our backfield. But those are kind of the big name free agents. Obviously, I think running back is the number one draft option outside of like the D-line that we definitely need to address. The other free agents being Haloti Ngata, Chance Warmack, Chris Maragos, Corey Graham, Richard Rodgers, Leroy Reynolds, Jordan Matthews, DJ Alexander. Wipe your hands clean of all of them. Let them go. None of them should be back next year.
The one thing before we move on, the Eagles really struggled with pass protection from their running backs. Darren Sproles was really Darren Sproles being 5'8 and 45 years old, or 50 years old, however old he is, literally was our best pass blocker as a running back. Like, you need your running back to be able to read blitzes, step up, and identify who's coming at the quarterback. And when your best pass blocker is 5'8 and like 90 and like ready to break, he's got glue and tape keeping his body together. Like, you really need to address that. They really need to find a running back that can pass block.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I think these first early rounds need to go defensive line, running back, offensive line.
Yep, 100% agree.
Need to invest in those three positions early. But looking at the Eagles' draft picks as well for where they can kind of accrue some of this younger talent, they have their own first-round pick, their own second-round pick, the Ravens' second-round pick from trading back with them in last year's draft so that the Ravens could take Lamar Jackson, our own fourth-round pick, fourth round compensatory pick that is projected from Trey Burton leaving last year, our own fifth round, our own sixth round, and then two sixth round compensatory picks coming from the New Orleans Saints when they signed Patrick Robinson, and then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from when they signed Bo Allen. So you have nine picks to kind of remake this roster in a sense on the cheap, and they need to take full advantage of those first five picks, I'd say.
And if you, depending on the market for Nick Foles, they might be able to add a third or maybe another fourth. I would be very shocked if they got anything higher than a third. But that's that they need that. And I wouldn't be mad if they packaged maybe the Ravens' second-round pick or our own second-round pick and a fourth or something to move up to take somebody. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if they did that. I need to see better drafting, though.
Yeah.
They need to,
draft better. That's my one gripe with Howie is that he has not drafted well in a long time.
Agreed.
Obviously, Derek Barnett is still a book wide open. I think he's very, very good. You just need to hopefully see him stay healthy for the rest of his career. But you have not seen consistent drafting from Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas with this tandem that everybody, you know,
loves so much,
reads as gospel. But you need to definitely see better drafting from them, and it starts this year.
And I think one of the biggest problems that they have is, me and my friend Dave talk about this all the time, he's really the one that put it in my head, is that, you know, the Eagles have been pretty allergic to drafting big names in the draft when you think about it. Like, in 2016, I love Derek Barnett. I think he can be a hell of a player in this league. But Reuben Foster was there. He slid. Jonathan Allen, the right end for the Washington Redskins, he slid. He was there. And I think those guys are better players, and they were clearly bigger names going into the draft. Derek Barnett was more of a scheme fit. They liked the way he plays the game. They liked his attitude. I want to see them start. It hasn't worked out for the Giants, but I want to start seeing them draft best available. You know, if there's a guy there that has really great potential, can be a top three player at their position in this league, take him. Like, I don't care about his attitude. I don't care about.
Well, thankfully, we didn't take Reuben Foster because.
He's
a headache and a half.
Yeah,
now,
he's bad. But, you know, you never know with that stuff. Yeah. He comes to Philadelphia, maybe. He meets different people, and it changes his whole outlook on everything and changes his attitude. But, you know, I want to see big name guys come
here. Yeah, I would like to see just more consistent drafting, too. Obviously, there were a couple hits in last year's draft. Dallas Goedert, I think, was a hit, even though he played in limited time. When he did play, it was high quality. And Avante Maddox was the best pick, obviously, I think, in this entire past draft class for the Eagles. But you need to see this first-round pick be a hit. You need to see these two second-round picks, if they stick there, be hits. And these two fourth-round picks, you need to get depth from more than anything. And then hopefully you can hit on the fifth round. And then the sixth round, you kind of take your flyers, like a Jordan Mailata or somebody like that, where you hope you find a Jason Kelce type.
Yeah, to me, they need to come out of this draft. They need one star, one beast. They need three starters total, one of them being that beast. So those two second-round picks need to be starters. And then you're right, all depth. Because that's what they struggled with, really. I mean, you can't really predict injuries like they had last year. But you need to be ready for them.
Exactly.
And they weren't – Howie wasn't ready. And that's I don't put as much blame on Howie, because that's the price you pay when you win the Super Bowl. You know, it really – this past year put in perspective – how great the Patriots have really been, because they do it every year. And our team, you could just tell the difference between 2017 Eagles and 2018 Eagles. They need to do a better job of restocking. They need to restock their youth. That's the biggest thing. This needs to be a youth movement. And I'm looking forward to this draft. So.
Yeah. And like we said, the Combine's coming up this week. We'll definitely be tuned into that, I believe. Mikey and Helfman are recording another podcast this Sunday, so you'll get this one that we're recording now will go up on Friday, so you'll have that to listen to on your drive to work Friday morning, and then you'll have Mikey and Helfman doing their mock draft 2.0 that'll be up on Monday, so lots and lots of draft coverage coming from us here at Underground Sports Philadelphia with the new unnamed NFL draft podcast for multiple reasons, but we'll have a new name for it soon. But I think that's going to do it for this episode. Joe and I will kind of be the guys breaking down the Eagles' angle of things, and then Mikey and Helfman will be doing broad perspective with some sprinkles here and there of Eagles. But like we said, biggest factors, running back, D-line, O-line definitely have to be addressed in this draft, and that could come round one and then those two second-round picks. Joe, your debut on Underground Sports.
Thank you, Kyle, for having me in.
Absolutely. Pleasure to have you as part of the team, and make sure you keep your eyes out for myself and Joe on these pods, Helfman and Mikey. Make sure you're following us all on Twitter. Joe, what's the Twitter handle?
At JRut2147. I'm the good-looking kid with the white half zip on, white Sixers half zip. So
go
get
that's
my Abby.
Are you on the live tweet for the fifth quarter tonight?
No, actually, I believe Dave is on the live tweet tonight. The Sixers back in action at following the All-Star
break.
Feels
like it's been forever.
I know, and no Joel Embiid. I wouldn't be surprised if he's out more than the week that they said.
We'll definitely be talking about that on Saturday on our live show, so make sure you're tuned into our Facebook page for that. But for everybody here at Underground Sports Philadelphia, I'm Kyle Bennett, and we are signing off. Peace. Reach out, it could be better than a fantasy.